One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Welcome back to the program. As always, I'm Ryan with Dave and Bobby, but today we have a guest. This guy I've known for many, many years. He is a fixture in the San Diego comedy scene. Mr. Adam Conney, everybody.
What up? Hello. How are you?
Thanks for being here, man. Sorry I didn't let you guys say anything.
Yeah, Dave, whatever. I feel bad. We didn't get our individualized intros.
Well, it's been a while. You know, we had that one a couple weeks ago, but...
You know, you get busy.
Ryan's like a husband who's just lost the love of his wife. Like he doesn't celebrate anniversaries anymore. Motherfucker doesn't try.
Keep it up. I'll be a widower.
I'm leaving you for my Pilates instructor fast. God.
Wait, are guys who murder their wives widowers?
Adam, they always
Technically. Yeah.
Wait, I would actually call them like motivated widowers.
I didn't realize that.
Hey, they take their wife out to a field, their favorite park, and then they just put one in the back of the head.
It's the nicest way to do it.
Now I'm a widower.
You gotta take her to Tiffany's. Boom.
You know, I'm endlessly fascinated by those guys because I've said this before on this show. I understand the mentality of killing someone in a fit of rage and then being like, what did I do? But guys who meticulously plan it out so they can be single, I'm like, first of all, do you think you're the fucking smartest motherfucker in the world? Because it's quite the opposite. Everyone knows you got a side chick. You fucking took out life insurance on her right before you killed her. And they're like, I don't know what happened to her. And then you got the opposite effect. You're going to jail for life. Dude, move to Florida. Move to fucking Florida.
I always feel like the ones who end up on Nancy Grace are the ones who are going to get away with it. Like, if Nancy Grace is telling the world that you did it, you're going to get away with it.
Well, it's funny is, like, every time you see that, you think, how much money did they put into their plan? Like, Scott Peterson had to go buy a fucking fishing boat that he's never gone fishing in his life. He went to go buy a fishing boat to dump the body. He did all this stuff, and you're like, I mean, divorce attorneys aren't that expensive.
Yeah, right.
I mean, even if you were to just do the odds in your head, you're like, there's only a 20% chance of me getting caught. It's like 20% chance of losing your entire livelihood and having the entire nation know that you're a predatory murderer, or just get a fucking divorce. Go to Vegas. It's real easy.
No, I like those. You don't want to take that hit on your credit.
It's just, there's that guy who's been in the news. I forget his name, but he just killed his wife to be
and
his
kids,
girlfriend.
And daughters. And
Chris Watt.
Yeah. He's been getting a ton of love letters in jail.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Women.
He will sire three kids in there.
It is insane.
It's because women like being nagged, and murdering your wife is the ultimate nagging.
Yeah, he's got that salt and pepper hair going on there. Yeah. Anyways, we have Adam on for a very specific reason. Great story happened this week in the comedy community.
Fantastic.
All you listeners around the country, we'll make sure that you're on board and know all the details so you feel you're right there with us. But quick story that happened to me a couple weeks ago. Went on a double date with my wife and I had a couple friends, and they wanted to go to a roller rink, okay? So here's
they still have those?
Yeah, and they're fun, dude. It's kind of a retro feel to them.
That seems so old-timey. He's like, we're going to go to a roller rink, and then we're going to go yell at minorities. So it's going to be great.
Yeah, no,
we're
I think raise a roller barn. Rinks are like church's chickens. Like, those aren't good neighborhoods.
Yeah. No, it was not. I did not volunteer to bring my car. I said, yeah, we'll go there. Well, you're driving. So anyways, here's something that you guys don't know about me and my wife didn't know about me is I played roller hockey for 3 years when I was a kid.
Oh.
So I am a very good skater. And here's one thing I always like doing with anybody, friendships or relationships. I like not telling people I have certain talents.
Yes.
And then busting them out.
Yes.
Yeah. So I
that's that. So much. By the way, everybody listen to this because this is a great tip and it's something that I didn't learn till my mid-20s. If you're really good at something, don't brag to people.
No.
Don't tell them, hey, I'm really good, blah, blah, blah. Because then no matter how good you are, they just kind of go, all right, fuck it. I guess that asshole was right. But if instead you say fucking nothing and then do the thing, everybody will be jaw dropped and
you
be like,
you know what? Bobby has talked so much about his boxing. Maybe he wasn't very good.
Yeah. I was not very good when it came to competing. I didn't get good until later. But I have done this. I actually went to one of those like intro martial arts classes. I wanted to go do the jiu-jitsu, and I suck at wrestling and jiu-jitsu. So it was fun, and it was just a fun thing. And then they're like, okay, guys, we're going to hit the heavy bag for a little bit. And instead of raising my hand and being like, I'm a boxer for about 10 years now, it's fine, I just went and hit the heavy bag, and that will impress the fuck out of everybody. So much more than bragging.
So an example of that is me and my wife were dating for 5 months before I told her I could play any musical instruments. And then all of a sudden we were at a party and someone had an acoustic guitar. I'm like, can I? And she's like, what are you doing? And I just start playing. And she's like, what? You know how to play guitar? I'm like, yeah, you know, I noodle a little bit. Yeah. And man, did that jaw drop, and so did the pants.
Yeah.
So anyways.
5 months in, first time. So
we've been together 5 years now. And so I'm like, oh man, this is great. She doesn't know I can skate. I'm gonna bust this out after 5 years. This is gonna be great. I'm like smug the whole way to the roller rink, you know. Now, I don't have my own skates anymore. Here's another thing: I have not skated since 1999. Okay, but I assume it's like riding a bike.
I hope those skates were Y2K proof, because otherwise.
Like, I didn't play guitar for 2 years. I picked one up. I was right where I left off. So I'm like, right. Yeah, this is the same thing. So you probably see where I'm going with this. So I'm smug the whole way. Cut to me holding on to the side of the ring with my fucking knees buckling. I fell down 3 times. Like, the chick that we were on this double date with that, like, has never even skated before, she was handling it fine. And I'm like, God damn it, slipped again. And so
Ryan, as he's supposed to, I used to be a champion.
Yeah, I'm a good skater. Oh man, so I really embarrassed myself. So, but it's a good thing. So back to Bobby's point, that I never was like, oh, you guys, I used to play roller hockey when I was a teenager. Oh, I'm going to show you guys how to do it. Then cut to me falling on my ass and getting a bruise, by the way.
And everybody just assumes, they're like, yeah, by play roller hockey, he meant he watched Mighty Ducks like a dozen times. That was.
I can see why that was the only quote unquote X game that never caught on, because fucking gay man in Venice Beach can keep that shit. Dude, the only people that still do that.
I would love to take that advice and combine it with Bobby's love of elaborate capers. Mm-hmm. And just like, so when you were at that party a long time ago and someone had a guitar, I would like in my head, I'd be like, I would want to be watching someone on TV play a guitar and be like, wait a second. Okay, I get it. Okay, let me see that guitar real quick. And just like pretend like you just picked it up by watching.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It'd be like if someone who's bilingual pretends they just learned it like five seconds ago. Yeah. I'm Travolta's character in that stupid movie no one saw.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you got to go a step further, Dave. You can't just watch somebody on TV. That's logical. That could even theoretically happen to a savant. Instead, what he has to do is get together with somebody else who's a friend who's a musician, have him play in front of him, and have Ryan go, hey, can you teach me sometime? And just be like, listen, I haven't told anyone this, but I'm telepathic, and I can impose these abilities upon you simply with my mind.
It's the Meteor Man. That's Meteor. Everybody in this room saw Meteor Man, right? With Robert Townsend?
No one did.
It was the first Black Panther. No, but one of his superpowers was that he could touch a book and not read it, but know what was in it.
Just osmosis?
Yeah, through osmosis. It was brilliant.
Classic.
So, Adam, I wanted to get to the story that happened this week.
Yeah. Start off by saying that I am not proud of this story. Okay,
let me bring all our listeners up to speed here. Comics are not known for being brawlers, exactly. It's why I get away with anything I want. It's just not something that normally happens. Anytime a comic says, I'm going to kick your ass, they're full of shit.
Right.
Yeah. They're not going to do anything, by and large.
And anytime a comic says that, it's online.
It's online.
Yeah, it's Facebook.
You also have to account for the fact that if you're talking to a comic, there's a higher than average chance you're talking to a schizophrenic or bipolar person. And so there is like a 20% mental illness factor where you could just be in a fight at any given time. But the good side of that is they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's happened so infrequently that one time someone called me like a coward that won't do anything online, and Adam was there. I showed up at his show. You remember that?
Yeah, you showed up at my show. He showed up at my show to confront my headliner.
That guy stole jokes, so whatever. Anyways.
That chick will never make that mistake again.
Yeah, fucking wheelchair or no, I'm coming. So anyways, so here's what I saw. This guy popped in on the comedy scene like 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, a couple months.
And this guy, he's one of these people that you will run into a lot in comedy that talk like they're trying to sell you a timeshare. Every fucking post or interaction is, hey team, it's going to be a great day through lots of positivity. I got big things happening, big things, and I want you all under the ground floor. That's right, big things, you and me. All right, team. Yeah, when someone talks like that, they are up to something, and it's never good. That's not just in comedy. That's a rule in life. If anyone ever talks like that, just distance yourself from them as fast as you possibly can.
Yeah, he had two of the biggest red flags as a newcomer to the scene. One was way too enthusiastic.
Right.
You know, like, this is amazing.
I'm
going to
change
so
the game.
That's the other one. Way too optimistic.
Yes.
Too enthusiastic and happy and too optimistic.
The optimism I can forgive, because when you're new to comedy.
The delusion is there.
Yeah, the delusion's there. You haven't had a bunch of soul-killing events yet.
Right, but his was
that'll
way
come.
Over the top. It was like, he literally said, we're going to change the game.
Right.
Like,
right. Yeah, we're gonna use megaphones instead of microphones now. It's going
to
be great.
Now, so, just to let everyone know the type of delusion that he had, when he was talking about changing the game, and Ryan, you're the one that pointed this out to me, he kept talking about a casino show.
Yes.
He's like, I got a casino show. Which, when you think, that's amazing. Awesome.
Right. Cool. Me and Dave have played casino. Actual casinos.
Yeah. And Ryan was the one who pointed out to me.
I'm going to bet you dollars to donuts he's talking about some ghetto-ass card room somewhere, and that's exactly what it is. I was so – right when I saw that, I'm like, dude, I know that place. It's on El Cajon Boulevard. I used to go there to score dope and ugly chicks.
Yeah.
And that's all that place is good for. You need to bring a knife and a Kevlar vest when you go there.
This sucks. This is the type of place. It's like, not only are there hookers there, but the hookers bring their children. This is how horrible a little.
And they don't even go there to like to pick up a trick. They go there with their tricking money to go fucking spend it at the blackjack table.
Yeah.
And when I say card room, I mean it is the size of your garage. There's no less
not
than
nice,
three
though.
Asian old men with eye patches, chain smoking, and eating the nasty roast beef sandwiches they served you for fucking $6. So, anyways,
but let's just take a step back though. True, not a casino show, but we've all played worse.
We've all played
everyone in this room has done 10 shows, probably enough that we've done it with each other.
Yes, yes. We've all done this
in this room.
Here's the thing,
but we're not knocking the room per se.
Right,
we're knocking the promotion.
Yes.
Of
just
the
wanted
room.
To clarify, yeah. We're not saying, hey, we're above bad shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've done a dozen bad shows with each of you in here.
None of us, though. When we played those rooms, referred to it as a casino.
Yeah. And nobody was changing any game.
No. And the thing is, hey, by the way, technically, I mentioned this before, every show I played on my Midwest tour was a casino, because everywhere in South Dakota has video lottery and laundromats. I mean, everywhere. So I've played actual casinos and know the difference. Casino, you think... girls in small dresses, cocktailing, roulette, people in suits.
Right.
No, it is not just some dude in a Canadian tuxedo chain smoking and wanting to die.
Right. Yeah, so, exactly.
Anyway, so this is what I always tell people when they're promoting is just be real. Because I have promoted some good shows and I've done some bad shows. I was talking with you guys about this show up in Tarzana. I told you guys, look, someone offered me a show where we get 20% of the bar. That could be $1,000. That could be $20. I don't know. If you go, we're rolling the dice that it could suck, but it could also make some money, so it's a gamble.
Yeah.
So that way, when we get there and it sucks, no one can be like, dude, what the fuck? You said this was a casino.
Yep.
So like, you set the right expectations. Always in life.
Yep.
Always. So that's why when I say, hey, man, there's a really good show I'm booking, people don't go, oh, really? Leave me like that laundromat, you fucking liar.
They show up. Ryan's rollerblading around the place. Wow, he's great.
So anyways, this guy says it's a casino. Me and everyone in this room besides Adam are privately making fun of him.
Yeah.
And then we see...
Because also, leading up to this, he's also been talking so much about meet and greets. Come meet and greet. I'll feed you guys. I'll give you tacos, meet and greet. Like, he's just trying to...
He's coming off like a cult leader.
Yeah.
So anyways, or he wants to be.
or let's give him all due honesty. Let's just say this. He could just be somebody who's very excited about comedy, right?
Yeah, maybe.
When we're all new, we all do that. Hey, I want to meet everybody. I want to do it. That can just be a very kind-hearted person who's very excited about comedy.
So anyways, then I see the poster go up, and my good buddy sitting to my left, Adam Connie, is the headliner, front and center on the flyer. And I went, oh, damn.
In my defense, I never once shared that flyer.
I know. He did a lot.
Yeah,
this
I know.
This was the second or third show.
Post office.
It was the second one.
At his casino. I remember seeing the first flyer and being wildly unimpressed with the lineup.
Right.
Like, oh, so, okay.
So I see Adam. I'm like, okay, well, good get for this guy.
Right.
That's too bad for my buddy Adam.
Yeah.
When I saw that flyer.
There was a clear winner and loser in that dynamic.
I had wanted to ask Adam afterwards, like, how the show was.
We all said that, like, the day of the show, like, hey, Adam played that show last night. We said this last week. I'm like, I wonder how it went. I'm like, Adam's an optimist. He'll probably say it went well, even if it didn't, just because he wants to be optimistic.
No, I'm not a liar.
That's true.
Like,
that's
an,
true.
An optimist looks positive going in. Like, I knew this was going to be a shit show as soon as he made me a headliner. I was like, oh. Because I've never been made a headliner.
Yeah, you
like,
get offered to be a headliner.
Yeah, I get offered to be a headliner. But
so what do you mean? What do you mean by that?
So, okay, so he when he came to me first, he asked me if I would, and I asked him the same question I ask all the time. Sure, how much time, how much money? He was like, 15 minutes, but I don't have any money to pay anybody right now. And my brain, I'm like, okay, that's cool. 15 minutes is like legit.
Yeah,
you know,
fine.
I can
that's
work
fine.
Out new stuff. I can have fun. It's legit, straight up. All right. So I say cool. And then I get the flyer, and I'm headlining, and he messages me, hey, you want to do 25 or 30 minutes? And my brain.
So he moved you to headliner without saying.
Yeah, flyer. Yeah, no. Like at no point was I contacted before then.
You or consulted in any way.
Yeah.
That's a shit move.
Yeah.
It's also a great way to get headliners. Hey, you want to open for me? Yeah, sure. Great, you're doing 50 minutes.
What? Like, I was confused because I was like, I love being a headliner, but why does it feel like,
right.
Yeah. Like I'm being a whore right now?
Yeah.
Well, I'm being used.
Right, right.
Well, so, because also you agreed to not getting paid based
exactly.
on the idea that you weren't a headliner, which is a much bigger deal. If you're a headliner, you're supposed to have a polished, you know, whatever it is, 45-minute, in this case, maybe 30-minute set. You're supposed to be ready to go. It has to be super professional. All this other stuff. As opposed to if you're just a feature, an opener, or whatever, in which case, yeah, I'll do it for free.
And by the way, you attach your name to it, and your name is your brand.
Yes.
So, yeah, so there's an agreement, like, okay, I'm going to put you on a flyer at the Broken Dirty Needle Casino.
Right.
And
yeah, that's exactly what it is.
In Ghettoville, and
well,
that's what people are going to think
like,
you're doing.
In New Room, when he's backing you into a headliner position, that's not a good sign for the room. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Or for his booking ability.
When you have to trick someone into being your headliner,
exactly.
You're not booking a good room.
So anyway. this is what happened. Winston's, Alan Henderson reached out to me to headline at Winston's. And I'm like, yeah. And he told me how much he's paying. And I'm like, cool. So I go do it. And the bad producer's there. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to show him how well I headline. And then I'm going to go up to him and talk to him about money.
Sure.
So I go on stage. I have a great set. I get off stage. I go up to him. Hey, what's going on, man? And I was like, hey, I noticed that you got me headlining now. You're charging at the door. And you're giving away raffles.
Okay.
You're raffling stuff.
Now, right there. You know, you guys know I'm very business-minded when it comes to stand-up. That's I like making money, and I've gotten a little bit good at it.
Right.
There's a fallacy that I won't do shows for free anymore, but that's not true. I just refuse to work for free if someone else is making money. If you're just doing a show and you need me to be there and you're not making you're making 50 bucks to put in your own pocket and there's not enough to go around, sure, I'll do fucking 15, 20 minutes for you if we're friends. But like, if you're making bank off of my performance and I'm not wetting my beak,
right.
I don't fucking think so.
Yeah.
So that's probably what you're feeling right now.
Exactly. So I was like seeing you know, charging at the door, got a raffle going. He goes, yeah, man. That's why I can take care of everybody. So I was like, okay, I don't like talking to this guy. He just said he's going to take care of everybody. I'm going to call the conversation right here.
Yeah.
So I just walked away from it. And then I show up to the venue. He greets me at the door. I was like, all right, man, cool.
$5, please.
No. Hey, this guy didn't do that, but I have worked with a person who did try and charge me door.
Oh, we almost got charged at a door for a show we did once.
He greets me at the door and goes, oh, man, hey, cool. How many tacos you want? You want two? You want four? I was like, I'm getting paid in tacos.
Then. He's really emphasizing these tacos. You know that's your fucking salary.
And it's only the first two that are free. It's $1.
Right.
Oh, I didn't want you to put you under the impression those were free. I'm sorry.
Wait, yep. You want a guacamole? Fork it over, buddy.
I said I would go get you tacos. I did that. How did I not fulfill my part of the contract?
Fucking taking care of these guys.
That's the funny thing about comedy is the discrepancy in pay is one night I could be going, wait a minute, was it 150 or 100? Because Kyle said 150 on the phone, and the very next night you're like, okay, so was it two tacos or three tacos? Because I'm not doing 30 minutes for fucking two tacos.
And the show starts like an hour late. It starts a legit hour late.
Ooh. Yeah. That sucks.
Then two comics go up. Okay, two comics go up and perform.
Two comics enter, one comic leaves.
And then I go, hey, how much more time do I have before I go up? He's like, he shows me the other comics, and that's like another 40 minutes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So now he's also wasting your time.
Yeah. So by the time I go up, the bartender had to wake me up.
What's this lineup? How many comics are on this lineup?
He had, I'm going to give a shout out to Sarah Hirschberger for being hilarious. A shout out to Noah Tidwell for being funny.
We'll bleep those on the post, right?
No, because there were some people that weren't. I mean, there were people who were.
But I mean, how many comics were on this thing?
If I can count in my head, one, two strippers.
Okay.
Then three,
four. Wait, the strippers were telling jokes?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the thing now. So, seven. And it,
does he know the difference between a comedy show and an open mic?
Yeah. Yeah, no, because he gave everybody 10 minutes.
So that's eight comics total. That's a showcase. That's not a headliner format.
Right.
So he shouldn't have a headliner. He should have everyone doing equal time.
Yeah. So and then seven comics doing 10 minutes. That's
70 of a show that should be 90 minutes.
Yeah. And then he's got me going on for a half hour.
Okay, so all right. Well, all right. So 100 minutes for a show, that's not so
bad.
That's not
too bad. But it started an hour late.
It started an hour late. Ugh. So that's the thing about that I hate about a lot of producers. They have no problem wasting your time. I cannot tell you how many times I've been like, what time do I need to be there? And they say 6:30. And I fucking rush to get there. And I just find a lonely bartender cleaning a glass by himself.
Yeah, like the promoter's not even there yet.
And I'm like,
yeah.
You know, is Kyle here? Like, he gets here like 9, 9:30, starts setting up chairs. I'm like, and I'll call him like, yo, I'm here. Oh, great, man. Have a drink. Have a seat. Relax. I'm like, why did you tell me to be here at 6:30?
Yeah.
Well, I thought you'd be 3 hours late. Well, fuck you.
Yeah. All right. And so I go up. I never get a light. I just do my time. And I'm just like, okay, this seems about right.
Time to okay.
End. And I was proud of myself. I ended it right at 33 minutes.
Sure.
What was the audience like?
Thin.
Yeah.
But they were attentive.
Were they receptive to your material,
yeah,
though?
Oh, definitely.
Were you having a good time?
Yeah, I had a good. I had fun. I had a good time. It
okay,
was, you know.
So it wasn't like, this is brutal and I'm
no,
also not getting it. Okay,
no.
Okay. All right.
So that was, I enjoyed it. You know, like I enjoyed
right.
my set. I enjoyed the crowd that
you
was there.
You counted it as a win as far as your
exactly.
set went. Okay, great.
And then I was like, you know, because I still need to work on my 30-plus set.
Yeah.
So I left
you,
there thinking.
You just counted it as rehearsal and went home.
Exactly. I left there thinking, I will never deal with this guy ever again. It's over. Move on.
I'll ask to unsubscribe from that newsletter he put in without asking me.
And no, then, Adam's the headliner of that newsletter.
Yeah. And then a week later, I get a call from a comic who was like, hey, what's it like working with such and such? Are we saying his name?
You can if you want.
That's
to.
Up to
care.
You, brother.
I will decide later. They're like, what's it like working with that guy?
Let's call him Demetrius.
Okay. Fair enough.
What's it like working with Demetrius? I say he doesn't pay. She's like, oh, okay, because he said he said that you perform, so I would just reach out to you.
Right.
Like, oh, why is he using my name?
Yeah.
Oh, great. He's using you as a reference.
Yeah. So I was like, no, don't. And then she said, oh, he's also said that he didn't like how the comics just showed up and performed.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, exactly.
What, as opposed to what?
Yeah, what's...
Promoting or bringing people or...
Well, that's his job.
Exactly. And that's what I talked about
on my
podcast.
No. His job was getting the tacos. Yeah. And he came through spectacularly on that.
And that's the that's what I talked about on my podcast. Like, there are a lot of producers that trick the acts into thinking that it's their job to fill the seats, too. Like, all they got to do is get the venue.
Right.
And then everything else. Like, it's not.
Especially not on an unpaid thing. Like, you better be giving a lot of money to the headliner if you're going to try and use them as your promoter as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Man. I just realized something. You said he put two strippers on the show and Ted said do jokes. You know, from now on, every time they meet a stand-up comic while they're at their other job sitting on his lap, and comics go to those things a lot, you know, they're going to say, what do you do? He's going to go, I'm a stand-up comic. She's going to go, oh, my God, I'm a professional stand-up comic, too. He's going to go, ugh, dump her off his lap.
I have this great joke involving a ping pong ball.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So right after I get a little beside myself or in my feelings, as the kids say, when I find out he's using my name and he's saying I only showed up and performed. And then right then I get tagged in a post that he made.
This is where I came into it.
Yeah, I get tagged in a post that he made on the thing called – on the San Diego Comedy Group.
Right.
Looking for all African-American comics,
yeah.
You know.
Now, this is where I saw. There was a post from him saying, hey, 2019, I got spots for African-American comics. Where are my black comics at?
Right.
And so another comic we know, Melissa Greenberg.
Tagged me.
She starts tagging a few comics. She tags Adam Connie.
And then I put in, nah, I already headlined for him for tacos.
Which is true.
Yeah.
You should. All right. When he
also mentioned in there that the show started late.
And then that felt good. Like,
yeah,
I've never trolled anybody before.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, this is trolling? I'm going to keep doing it.
Talking shit. It's what you think.
So I go, and the show started an hour late. Then I just went on. And then I finished it with, in his defense, he did have the decency to start the show off with a 3-minute-long, mildly homophobic stock joke.
Yeah.
And then I took a nap. And then I woke
now,
up.
A couple other people started to get involved from the comedy scene.
Because no one has liked this guy from the get-go. They're like, I know what he's up to. Right. This guy seems like a fucking asshole in the first place. And now he's ripped off one of our own.
Right. This is the first real, like, oh, this guy actually is shitty.
Because let me just explain something about any comedy scene, or maybe just any scene in general, is you don't just walk in and become part of it. You have to earn your stripes amongst your peers before you're really considered one of us, you know? And whether we like you or not, like, there's a lot of comics I don't like, but they are part of the scene. They make money doing this. They put their time in. Just because I don't like them doesn't mean they're not part of a scene that I'm part of. So this guy walks in, rips off a guy who's been a fixture amongst us, whether you like him or not. Adam is one of us. And then this guy just rips him off and starts acting like he has the right to do that. Does that make sense?
And the whole reason they have those pages, the reason we have the San Diego comedy pages, is so that other comedians can communicate when something is either good or bad for you to do. Like to say, hey, this is a great room, great audience, blah, blah, blah. It's free, but you're not going to make any money, but it's a great audience and all this stuff.
And there are those rooms.
If you weren't to do that, if you were to just shut up and not say anything about it, you're doing a disservice to all the other comedians who are going to be signing up on this, especially because he's using your name.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So I wake up from my nap and I see he's responded, but he's since deleted it. Dave, screenshot. Do you want to read
his response?
Response, or
it
do you
was,
want me?
I'll highlight it because looking at your cell phone, it's three and a half screens. Of
yeah,
that's how long it's his
a,
response was.
It was just a
was.
Long.
This
it was a
rant.
Long.
And basically, it was, oh Adam, I can't believe you're coming at me like this in public. What have I done to make you upset?
Tacos.
This is my favorite line in the entire thing, I think. You mentioned that you've been doing comedy for 9 years, and it's clear it's been a rough nine.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That is a dig
that
just slid in there.
So this motherfucker has started comedy 6 minutes ago, and he's taking shots at Adam? Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then it's basically just all...
Oh, wait, no. Let me tell you. I've had two meetings with this guy prior to this show, and I asked... No, I met him, and then I had a meeting.
Team Huddles, please.
Team Huddles. And then I told him... I asked him both times, how long have you been in comedy? Both times he said, he goes, I don't like answering that question.
Yeah, I know, because it's none.
Yeah.
Which is like when somebody says, have you ever been arrested for a felony? I don't like answering that question. We know what that means.
You'd like answering it and had a good answer.
Yeah.
Or the answer is he's been in for so long and he's still this bad.
Yeah.
It's not a grand jury, motherfucker. You don't have to take the fifth.
This is the third town that he's been to trying to reinvent himself. And it's just
monorail.
But this whole message, it's mostly just like, I can't believe we can't just put this bitterness behind us. I wanted us all to grow together and show the world how great comedy could be.
So
he brings God into it. He's like, God told me that Satan would put obstacles in my path
That's me.
Oh, you're a crazy person.
Yeah. See, and I knew he wasn't talking to God because I talk to God. And the only person God ever warns me about is me.
So
he mentions how he's dumping his money into a place where we can all do comedy.
Yeah. So he
it's
wanted
a
the
ghetto fucking card room.
No, he wants the opinion to be the thought to be that he paid for everything and that we get to go there and have fun.
Oh, that's erected this with his own two hands like the Amish.
Here's the line where he says Adam Kine was sent by Satan. I will continue to love in spite of the devil's plan to stop me using weak men and women who hate themselves inside and are willing to stop at no end to hurt others because of their own failures in life.
God also told me to put two strippers on the show.
Dude, that is not a subtle dig at all.
No, he was direct. He was talking. I was sent by
so we're all seeing this.
Now, at the end of the message, all caps. We switched to all caps.
Hey, like that move.
Please don't message back and forth. Let me know what we can do, where you're at, so we can talk this thing out, my bro. Yes, let's meet up and, you know, put this thing to rest.
Okay, so, yeah.
And that's when I went. I was like, so I messaged him. I said, hey, same Denny's, 8:30.
The place you guys have met
before. He did get one last dig. After this long message, he posted one other message.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why. Way to show the world how we've grown as black men in this country, brah. Shake my head.
And that, to that I responded.
So Adam put his race behind 50 years by not liking getting stiffed.
And then to that I responded, sketchy black people who want me to let them be sketchy just because they're black people are my least favorite black people.
Yes.
I like how he's painting you out to be the Stacey Dash of the San Diego comedy scene.
So I just shoot him a message. He's like, yeah, cool.
We should mention Adam is black. I don't want any people that don't know him. Right. Like, this white guy's out there saying I hate sketchy black people. Whoa, Nelson.
So he agrees to meet me, and I'm thinking we're just going to talk. So I go over my head. I'm basically just going there to tell him fuck you to your face, to his face. Like, I'm not going there to say, oh, you misunderstood. No, I'm going there to back. I trolled him online. And he called me out in real life, so I'm just doing what I want done. When people troll me, I'm like, where are you going to be? Blah, blah. We can talk face-to-face, have the same courage. Because, Ryan, you've seen people call me out before.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what? Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. They
and it's black people a lot. And this is what's really frustrating. As a Christian, as a black person, as a man, it's like just getting all those things. Like, somebody has all those three things, too, as a comedian. And they think, like, oh, me and Adam are now best friends. Like, matter of fact, in order for me to say this, I have to let you know what his name was.
Okay.
It was Adam Love. Okay. Ooh. It was not his real name, but that was his stage name, Adam Love.
Adam Love's not a real name?
So he kept saying, brother, man, we brothers. And I told him, I was like, dude, our last names have to be the same. Okay. So he shows up to the meet, and I got into Denny's at 8:20. I'm prompt. I'm punctual.
Which was the time you were going to meet?
We were going to meet at 8:30. Right. You know, I got a table. I ordered me some coffee. I'm drinking my coffee, going over my thoughts. And I even decided when I'm going to leave. Like, this gets out of hand. I'm out.
Sure.
He shows up at 8:50, texts me, I can't see you. Come outside. My brain was like,
when you go inside.
Yeah. Because your idea is that he's going to come inside, and you're going to sit down and have a cup of coffee.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he calls me outside.
You mean like adults?
And I leave my money for the coffee, and I go outside. And I walk towards him. He walks towards me, and then he shoves me in the chest.
You thought this was going to be a discussion about what's going on. He thought you guys were fighting at Little Caesars after school.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though he's the one who said, let's meet and talk this out.
Right. So no words are exchanged. He just immediately shoves.
Yeah, no. Okay. Immediately shoves.
Then what do you do?
And I was like, what the fuck? And just, I take off my sweater. I have on my headphones. I'm like, dude, what the hell is your problem? You're a psychopath. I'm leaving. That was my first thought, and it was the last mature thought I had that night.
Now, if you guys want to hear a really in-depth version, you can listen to the Adamant Midweek podcast, because you go in-depth into a lot of this stuff. And I will say, you take an incredible amount of self-responsibility for what happened. I think more than you deserve, but I always respect when somebody looks at the situation and says, what did I do wrong, not what did that guy do wrong?
Yeah, this is totally my, like, there were so many outs on me.
Sure.
So he pushes me, and I go to him, I'm like, I'm leaving, this dude's a psychopath. And then I get to the car, and I'm like, no, I can't leave, because if I leave, it's going to look like I'm running.
That's that masculinity thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? I am guilty of that more than I am not.
Yeah, see? So I take off my headphones and my sweater, and I throw them in the car, and then I just go up to him like, see, this is you being exactly what I thought you were, you fucking snake. And I say that to his face. Nothing, like I said on my podcast, if I had tweeted any of the things that I said to him, I would not have a Twitter account anymore. Because I was like, I'm going for your soul. His eyes were watering, his voice was cracking, and I was just pointing that out.
Wow.
And then really?
Yeah.
So he started crying a little bit?
This is what happens when a real comedian starts insulting.
Yes.
So he's just like, why are you hating? Why are you hating? That's all he keeps screaming. Why are you hating like a bitch? This is how Tupac went down. I shit you not.
Oh, my God.
I shit you
wow.
not.
You're like, actually, we need to be in Vegas and have a few more guns for this.
I kid you not, he invoked the name of Tupac.
So I'd be like, so in this situation, you're who, Biggie? Or,
yeah, I just,
who are
I
you?
Just,
are you Suge Knight?
I don't know. He's Tupac.
Oh, he's Tupac.
Adam is shooting him at an intersection in the middle of Vegas after a Tyson fight.
Yeah.
In reality, Adam Love is more like a little Flip or one of those little fucking hip hop artists.
Okay, so all of a sudden, I swear, all of a sudden, he kicks me in my arm.
This is the part you breezed over on your podcast that I needed more detail.
Me and Bobby have lots of questions. You said, all right, and I am going to break this down here.
Okay.
You said he roundhouse kicked you.
Okay.
I asked the fucking questions around here.
Yeah.
Now, a roundhouse kick, some people mistake a roundhouse for a crescent kick. Either way, when it comes to kicking, if someone executed either a crescent kick or a roundhouse kick, it shows they have at least a year of striking training.
Yeah.
However, if they do not have a year of training and attempt a kick because they've seen it on TV, it looks hilarious. Which one was it?
He kicked me with his left foot in my right arm. Okay. No spinning. Kick. That was a crescent kick.
So no spinning. He didn't spin around.
You don't have to spin around for it to be a roundhouse kick. But
okay, that's what I thought.
But my question is, what was the words that you said that initiated the kick? You're in the middle of this conversation.
I can't remember.
You think you can kick me, bro?
No. There was just like, I was just insulting him, and then I got kicked.
Okay. Wow, and when he did this, it was just out of nowhere. There wasn't a push right beforehand.
Was there any force to it? Is it like, ow, that kind of hurt? Or was it just kind of like, if I knocked you with my arm real quick?
He didn't sway me.
Okay.
Okay, and then I go, did you just fucking kick me?
Which is the worst thing somebody can say to you after you kick them. No,
the absolute worst would be to ignore it entirely and just keep talking.
What does he say? Does he say, yeah, I'm going to do it again?
No, he goes, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Okay.
But he just kicked me. So, and he goes
You can't kick me and leave.
Right. So
you cannot kick me.
He goes to his car, opens his door, and I slam his door shut. I'm like, the fuck you think you're going to kick me and just roll out of here? And I lean in and call him a piece of shit.
Right.
At no point do I say, hey, Adam, you're going to have to start fighting soon.
Yeah.
So I just keep talking. He backs up to his trunk and takes his key fob out and dramatically opens his trunk.
Right. We all know what that means.
Right.
Guns.
And I look
something,
at
something, a baseball bat, a crowbar, something.
Yeah.
Or someone... Based on this guy's persona, he wants you to think there's something in there.
No. Based on this guy, there might be a stripper back there ready to jump out and help out.
Or he's prepared for next time. He's getting his shin pads out, you know? He's got his Muay Thai pads on.
He's got a trunk full of tacos, and he's going to make this up to you.
So I tell him, I said, dude, whatever's in that trunk, you better get it the fuck out and use it. And
that is not a good thing to say to
him. Yeah, I know. Come on.
That's a great thing to say.
I know. That's me being tired and... I don't live my life right. So
you're not long for this world with that attitude.
So he goes, he closes the trunk and goes, I don't want to do this, Adam, and then just closes his trunk.
Oh, so he tried to insinuate, I was going to get a gun out and kill you, but I thought differently.
Right.
Okay.
So then he goes back to his car. He goes to get back in his car, but as he's going towards his car door, he like does that hard chest pump at me.
Okay.
And that's when I shove him. This is the first time. The whole time I've intentionally left my hands at my side.
Right.
I don't want to give him any inclination that I want to fight him.
Right. Yep.
But this is the first time when he chest bumped me, I pushed him back off of me.
Uh-huh.
And he goes back so dramatically and so far that I'm like, I didn't fucking push him that hard.
Right. He's flopping like a soccer player that wants that foul.
It's like, he's got a shocked face, look on his face, and he's like just going back like the Matrix. And then he stops and comes right at me, but I'm still thinking, why is he acting like this? And that's when he punched me in the face. Punched me square in my mouth. And then I'm like, well, now we have to scrap. And we went down, like I held, you know, we just go down to the ground.
Who's on top?
He is.
Okay.
Okay, so he's on top, so I'm like, I have to keep
and
his
you have
arms.
Do you have him in guard?
Huh?
Do you have him in guard?
I don't know what that means.
Okay.
Not everyone know what they're doing.
Are
you on your back with your legs wrapped around him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Arms, everything. Like, yes. I'm just going to hold on to him until he goes limp.
Right.
Or something.
Or you're looking for the arm bar. Either way.
Yes. Yeah. So he breaks loose, and my first thought when he breaks loose is, this guy's the type to kick me while I'm down. So get up right after him. And as I'm getting up, he jumps in his car.
Mm-hmm.
And when he jumps in his car, I see his hat's on the ground. So I grab his hat, and I pick it up and go, this is mine now.
Oh, by the way, his hat says his name across
his
the rim.
His hat says love. Like, love. It's not like a New York Yankees cap or anything. It's a specific.
You're like the
hat.
Old neighbor who got a Nerf football thrown over his fence. This is mine now. You're never getting it back. I told you.
Then he drove off, and I just posted that he's a psychopath. Yeah,
and he punched him.
So that's pretty much the end of the story, yes?
Basically.
Okay.
Hindsight 2020, how cool would it have been if when he popped his trunk, Adam County shoved the kid into his own trunk and then closed it?
I thought about that. I thought
that would have been the most baller.
Yeah,
moment.
That I would like.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Then just posted in the group, hey, if anybody's looking for Adam, he's in his trunk. And then
he had the key fob. He could get out easy. Exactly. Plus, they have that pull handle now.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's a crazy story. To me, the most interesting part is the fact that you'd be sitting there having an argument with somebody, and their go-to move would be, I'm just going to kick him in the arm. Like that. To me, that's the weirdest part of this whole thing. The punch after the shove, all that stuff, that's just stupid escalation of dude-on-dude stuff. But the idea that you're sitting there having a heated discussion and a guy's opening move is a kick to the arm. By the way, no follow-up, not kick and then punch and then scramble. It's just like kick and keep talking, you know?
Yeah, he kicked and then realized, oh, that doesn't work
that
as well
work, yeah.
as it does in the movies.
Because that's when he was like, I'm leaving.
I want that video so bad. Because like Ryan said, somebody who doesn't know how to throw a kick, when they do kick, is the funniest thing you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Now, I like the small details in the story, the things you don't really notice. I like to think that he named himself after that hat that he found at a thrift store. When he goes on to another town to start again, he's going to be Adam Nike.
Yeah, I don't know why you would pick Adam.
Like, and then
my first 2 years of comedy, I was AC. I wasn't even Adam. Right?
And well, and then what happened was you obviously revealed this and it became a huge, you know, shit fest. Everybody, yeah. they're comedians.
You posted the messages they sent. You come outside. I can't see you. And then you posted a picture of you holding the hat. And you said, oh, he's got a mean left hook. Yep. He's not a good promoter, but he's a good scrapper.
Yeah. And everybody, obviously, because we love anything that's entertaining. So the entire San Diego comedy scene jumped in and started doing it. And I just thought it was a funny diversion. We were probably going to mention it and talk about it. It wasn't going to be a big deal. Except here's what pissed me off. You had a bunch of people coming to this guy's defense. You had
I only saw one. I saw
three, and I talked to each one. So you have these people come out and say, like, hey, man, Adam shouldn't have been talking trash like that. Or, hey, do you know what happened? Maybe it's Adam's. There is never a fucking excuse. If somebody talks trash about your show and you don't like it, you're a fucking comedian. You talk trash back. You don't throw random roundhouse kicks in a parking lot at Denny's. There's never an acceptable area where you're allowed to hit somebody unless somebody's trying to hit you.
Yeah. Takeaways from this. What might have you done differently? Top three things.
First, never do the show.
Right.
Like, I mean, honestly.
So you ignored some red flags.
The first red flag I ever ignored was I was shooting after the set with Richie Estrada. And that's the first time I met Adam Love in person. And he comes into a scene on in front of the camera and starts promoting himself. Like, just, just like, hey, what's up? This is me and Adam. You can check me. I'm Adam Love, blah, blah. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Okay, so you ignore red flags. That's number one. Yep. Now, what's number two?
Number two is
when he
moved me to the headliner without paying me.
That should have
just said, no, I don't work with this guy.
All right. And regarding the confrontation, what's one thing you would have done differently?
Stayed inside.
Okay.
Like, I mean,
it's crazy because it's like there's been a role swap because Adam got into a fight this past week and I avoided one last night. We swapped roles. last night I was out with Groobs and his wife and my wife. We went to this bar. And I'm walking with two drinks to go sit down with my friends. And there's like a little narrow walkway. There's like a college age student, Asian kid that coming my way. So I kind of turned my body to avoid him. I went, excuse me. And he went, yeah, excuse you. He did it right in my face.
Oh, that's so
clearly nice. To impress his friends that were at a table right next to us. Yeah. Right. So 4-5 years ago, I would have emptied both glasses on him, broke them over his head, and then took him to the ground and started beating him mercilessly. Right.
Which is also wrong.
It's also wrong.
Very wrong.
You got to leave him with a kick. Yeah.
I've grown as a person.
Yep.
So I took a deep breath. I counted to 10. I said, let's not ruin this evening with violence. He didn't touch you, so it's not right to use violence towards words. Yeah. So then I sat next to him and his entire party of people, including two girls he was clearly trying to impress, and I emasculated him for 15 straight minutes.
And that is what you do!
Yeah.
Loudly. I'm like, look at this guy! You didn't want a fucking regular haircut? Like, you're not even a man! Look at this big boy jacket! Is your mother dressing you? Ha ha ha! And so he did the move, which earlier he was just trying to get in my face and try and yell excuse you rudely.
Right.
Now, as I'm shouting at him, no more than 3 feet away, he is pretending like he doesn't hear me. He's looking straight forward. And like, he's pretending he can't hear me now. He's got nothing to say. Erin's mortified. She's like, please stop. Please stop. I'm like, why? He's not going to do anything. So that's what you do. That you don't use violence. You use toxic masculinity.
Well, no, it's a great way because think about it. That kid has probably learned more than he would if he just got punched. Then he'd get to be the victim, right? Yeah, he gets to go online and be like, I got to
say, like, oh, some psycho attacked me and I took his hat.
I guarantee you this kid now has to spend probably the next 10 years as he's going to sleep thinking about the things you said and the things he should have said back to you.
Yeah.
And he's not with any of those chicks anymore. Those chicks lost him.
After we left, which was shortly after, I'm guessing he did the move where he's like, you know, I would have said so. You know, I didn't want to. And they all went, that's okay, Brandon. I didn't want to escalate because, you know, I'm a deadly weapon. My hands are lethal.
I was going to say the hands registered.
You know, and they all went, it's okay, buddy. He was out of line. He was crazy.
Hey, matter of fact, can I promote the next Adam Love show?
Absolutely.
I got a call from the headliner.
Okay.
The next headliner.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you were telling me as we walked in. We all know how this room works, obviously. We know what kind of person Adam Love is.
Mm-hmm. Will F you pay me?
Oh! I hope he throws a kick! Oh, I hope he throws a kick!
Let me explain who Will F you pay me is.
His name says it all.
Yeah, it says it all. The man does not take shit. Oh, God, I hope he stiffs him.
Very large man of color who is not going to be taking this roundhouse kicks lightly.
He often performs his comedy wearing a ski mask.
Yeah, this is how, like, serious Will F. You Pay Me is. I got in the car to come here, and I get a message saying, call me ASAP. My first thought was, shit, somebody's put a hit out on me. So I call him up. He was like, hey, what's that dude's name that you did, blah, blah. And I was like Adam Love. He's like, yeah, he just hit me up to do a show. And I was like, oh, is he going to pay you? He goes, man, he was all this hype talk. And then when I asked about money, the conversation ended.
You know what? I would just love to contact Adam Love and be like, by the way, Will F. You Pay Me is very modest. He operates a charity. When it comes time to pay him, let him know you donated his pay to charity, and he will lay the biggest hug on you. You're going to love it. And you know, you don't even have to really do it. Just say you did it. It'll mean the world to him. You guys are going to hit it off famously.
Yeah, you know, after the fight last week, that happened, I think, on a Monday.
Monday, yeah.
Ryan, I hit you up. I'm like, we should go to the casino show Tuesday just to show up and talk.
Well, I'll be there.
But now I want to go just to watch.
Oh, yeah,
Will
I'm going. I'm going to Will's show. Like, Will's like, you and me, we're riding together. I was like, who? I don't care.
No, Dave show up and he sees me. They're like, oh, Ryan, you came to see the show. And I'm sitting there at the card table with a hooker, like, yeah. That's what I did. Get off me, bitch.
This also brings back the idea that I still think we should do, which is too many people talk shit online and, like, I'm going to kick your ass, all this stuff.
Don't go into your idea to have a fight show.
Yes. We do. From now on, Adam Love, you have a problem with Adam Connie, you let us know. We'll set up an MMA-style fight so at least everybody knows that you are fighting, and this time we'll sell tickets and actually give it to the people who are involved in the show.
Yes, we're going to give Adam 50% of the door, and you get what you pay your comics. Enjoy the tacos, motherfucker.
Yeah, he's the worst person.
All right, let's call the week. Adam, thanks for being on the show,
bud. Hey, guys, thanks for having me. I love the Degenerate Podcast.
And where can people find you?
Follow me on all social media with Adam Connie Senior, Adam Connie SR. The Connie sounds like it's spelled. And listen to my podcast. It's called The Adamant Podcast. And when all else fails, just go to AdamConnieSenior.com.
All right. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby and Adam Connie saying see you next week. Cruising with the twos.
What the fuck?
Ooh, yeah, time passing by. Oh, motherfucking time is passing by.